Hello, you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay, and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies. And sometimes we talk about other stuff. My name's Erin, and wait, are you saying your people killed the dinosaurs?
And my name is Erin, and my bowels are anything but royal.
And I'm Samantha. I love dogs. I've always loved
dogs. That is the best line in the movie, by the way.
No, that line is so bad.
I love dogs. I've always loved dogs.
If there's one thing I know about Erin, it's that she fucking loves dogs. For real.
That's a dangerous thing to say when we are talking about today's topic,
Jupiter ascending. I honestly had such a hard time doing quotes because it was like, I couldn't remember a single thing that was said in this movie, and like pulling up a list, I was like, these are all insane.
Okay, we are talking about Jupiter ascending, but before that, we have a special guest today. It's our friend Sammy.
Hi.
Welcome back.
No, I'm so happy to be here again in the Gaze Gaze offices.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here for this episode about the green M&M.
Yeah.
It's time. Sammy, do you regret suggesting that we do this movie?
When we were done watching it, about like 30 minutes into the movie, I literally looked to Erin and I just apologized. I genuinely felt so bad. It's like, you know that feeling when like you really want to watch a friend, like a movie with like your group of friends, and you're like, it's gonna be so fucking funny, it's gonna be so good, and then you put it on and you realize it's shit and it's not going over well and nobody cares and you feel like an asshole.
Oh no.
I felt that like times like that and watching it. I was like, no. Like you last episode, I came up so smart, and like this one, I'm
I wish that you had been at my place for when me and my girlfriend watched this together, because we were whooping and it was good. I think this is fine, actually.
The reason that we decided to do Jupiter Ascending a while back was because it's by the Wachowski sisters, both of whom are trans women who are sapphic, right? Mm-hmm. To the best of our knowledge. Lily for sure is.
Yeah.
We know this because she has talked about it very openly. The thing about Jupiter Ascending is that there actually isn't any lesbianism in the movie itself.
I don't even think you could like interpret it. And like, I love to do like close readings of things that just like are insane. Mm-hmm. This one, it would be like Olympic like reaching to like,
yeah,
there's not even really any women in this
movie. Yeah, there's hardly any Mila women Kunis. Yeah, it's just Mila, it's the Mila Kunis show. There's some weird incesty kind of moments, if like reincarnating incesty, so like not really. Mm-hmm. But there's no other way to describe them, so
yeah,
man, what a movie. Yeah, definitely the least gay Wachowski movie.
Well, we haven't seen Cloud Atlas.
Yeah. Do we want to?
No.
Unless somebody emails in. Unless somebody, if Samantha emails
in. Oh my god. At least Bay Duna is in that for like a major character. So it's sapphic in the sense that I get to watch her on screen and I enjoy that.
Bay Duna definitely is in this movie. I have thoughts, but I'm going to save them for later.
Oh my god. I can't believe we share the same brain because we had exactly the same thought.
So before we start, content warnings for the movie if you decide to watch it for violence and gore, and also alien abduction with kind of sexual assaulty undertones or overtones. Jupiter Ascending came out in 2015, directed by the Wachowski sisters, and it is about Jupiter Jones, who's played by Mila Kunis. She lives in Chicago and she works as a toilet cleaner to support her low-income family, who are Russian immigrants. She wants a telescope so bad that she's going to sell her eggs so that she can buy it. But when she goes into the hospital, the doctors shapeshift into aliens called Keepers. And these aliens are the most stereotypical Area 51 gray, big-eyed aliens you can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
They try to abduct her and kill her, but she's saved by Channing Tatum, who is a mysterious shirtless man on levitating rollerblades. And a massive fight that almost destroys the entire city of Chicago ensues.
Wait, he has a shirt on, doesn't he? This is not important, but
he didn't for most of the movie.
He loses it often, but he has it somewhere.
At some point he has a shirt on, but most of the time he doesn't.
Because he has to take his, it's like a sleeveless shirt, but he has to take it off so you can see the scars on his back, but spoilers. Oh my god.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Okay, anyway, he does spend a lot of his time just rollerblading around shirtless.
Oh my god, it's so silly.
So, he is named Cain, and he is a half-albino lycanthrope, or a wolf person, who is a soldier who has been sent to protect Jupiter. He brings her to the house of a man named Stinger and his daughter. Their entire home is filled with hordes of bees, and there Jupiter realizes that she can control the bees with her movement and her mind. Stinger immediately begins calling her Your Highness, and she realizes that she is intergalactic royalty. The matriarch of the royal family, Abrasix, has recently died, and her three heirs, Balaam, Kalik, and Titus, are fighting for the throne, and that's why they're trying to capture and kill Jupiter. Jupiter is captured and taken from Stinger's home by a group of hunters, including Beiduna, who is inexplicably dressed as Lana Wachowski with her pink cyberlock dreads.
Oh, no. They're not pink.
No, they were. They're at blue. Least half of them were pink.
Were they?
Yeah, were they? I swear, like, she had split half.
I thought they were just blue.
I thought they were blue,
maybe
too.
I'm misremembering.
It's fine.
I thought that she was had half pink, half blue.
She had no. Lana
Give
Wachowski
Lana some credit.
Hair.
Okay.
Give Lana some credit. Yeah, that's so true. She did have Lana Wachowski hair, is the thing.
To be clear, I'm not defending Lana Wachowski. She has made some mistakes.
No, and her hair not. Is one of them.
Yeah, her hair is definitely one of them.
So these hunters, including Beiduna, are working for the evil oldest brother, Balaam Abrasax, who is played by Eddie Redmayne. But they have been bribed to bring Jupiter to the palace of Balaam's sister, Kalik, who is played by Tuppence Middleton, or Riley from Sense8. There, Kalik reveals to Jupiter that she is a genomic clone of their mother, and so she is the rightful heir to the throne. She also reveals that many planets in the galaxy have been established for the sake of harvesting life to create these youth serums that allow intergalactic royalty to live forever, and she herself has lived for over 14,000 years. Earth is just another one of those planets that's doomed to be sacrificed for eternal life, and having spent her whole life on Earth, Jupiter is understandably very against this when she finds out about it. Cain comes to pick Jupiter up so that she can go claim her inheritance, but on the way, Balaam kidnaps Jupiter's family to attempt to lure her to him so that he can try to kill her. But meanwhile, Cain and Jupiter, when they're trying to go back to Earth to save her family, they're intercepted by Titus, who is Cain's boss and imprisons him in this little tiny jail cell and reveals that he plans to marry Jupiter, kill her, and then claim Earth as his own. He ejects Cain into space, but don't worry, he survives this somehow. And then Titus moves forward with his plan to seduce and marry Jupiter, which somehow works. But at their wedding, Cain crashes into the building and flies in on his sick rollerblades and saves Jupiter and reveals Titus's murder plan. And Jupiter's like, can I go home now, please? But Balaam has kidnapped her entire family. And so now they're on Jupiter in the big red spot at Balaam's oil refinery.
I don't know. The planet that is inside of Jupiter. Or the fake orb center of Jupiter.
So strange.
Man.
When Jupiter meets up with Balaam there, he is like, can I have Earth, please? And Jupiter is like, no, you can't. And he's like, well, I'm going to kill your family. But it's too late. Cain has already saved her family. And he starts to destroy the refinery, which collapses. And Jupiter and Balaam have this big fight, and he tries to kill her, but then she wins, but she chooses not to kill him, but then he falls and dies anyway. And it is very unclimactic, I would say.
Yeah, it's anticlimactic, kind of, because that's not even the end of the climax, because then she's still on that fucking planet that's exploding, and then so her, Cain has to come and roller skate her to fucking safety by grabbing onto the back of a spaceship while it goes into a, like, interdimensional tunnel. Anyway.
I feel like I'm learning the plot for the first time. Like, you reading this out is more so for me than it is for the viewers. Like, this has nothing to do with them, everything to do with, like,
educating
what the fuck did we watch?
I don't know. Okay, so then Jupiter and her family make it home, and they wipe her family's memory so that they don't remember going to Jupiter and they don't know that aliens exist. Her family buys her a telescope so that she doesn't have to sell her eggs anymore, and she reveals that she has a date. She meets up with Kane, who now has giant gold eagle wings so that he can fly, and he gives his sick rollerblades to Jupiter as a hand-me-down, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, they get to fly around together.
Yeah.
It's because all dogs go to heaven. He gets his wings, bro. That's what the movie's all about.
He's literally a fucking Sigma male sparkle dog.
Lana Wachowski said that she was inspired to make this movie by The Odyssey, which Samantha called and predicted while we were watching. She was like, this really feels like The Odyssey.
I was very unsober, and I had just seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which is a good movie.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is just like The Odyssey. And I was right.
Yeah.
I can't believe you were so smart.
Thank you.
But in addition to being inspired by The Odyssey, Lana Wachowski was inspired by The Wizard of Oz. And she said that Kane was directly based on Toto from The Wizard of Oz.
Absolutely wild, but does explain why he doesn't have any fucking character.
It's so true. He's just a dog.
He's just a half albino.
Dog that can fly on rollerblades.
With wings.
I'm now imagining Dorothy and Toto and Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum. Like, those two pairings have the same relationship as, like, Alba and Ren.
Yeah. Oh, no!
From Dramatical Murders, Samantha.
That one might have to get cut.
Let her speak her truth.
You're saying, here's the thing though, is that you're saying that Dorothy and Toto are just like Alba and Ren, and that is not at all.
Well, it's not.
Going both ways. Like,
well, okay, this is what I thought you were gonna
actually
say.
It's like a fucking flow chart. It's like you start Dorothy and Toto, and then you go into Jupiter and Kane, and then at the very bottom of the deranged scale, you reach Alba and Ren.
Okay, I'm saying there's a Venn diagram of these three relationships, and they have a very large middle. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there's okay,
and then I'm imagining like fan art of like Alvin and Ren is like Dorothy and Toto, and it works.
Oh, that must
or
exist.
Jupiter ascending. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay, that also I'm must so exist. Wait, okay. What I thought you were gonna say is that Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum have as much romantic chemistry as Dorothy and Toto in The Wizard of Oz, because
it is
zero. Oh my god.
Yeah, honestly, they're not like Alvin Ren at all, because actually...
Now, this is not related to Kane, but the other thing that Lana Wachowski said about The Wizard of Oz was that she said, and I quote, "We were like, can we bring a different kind of character like Dorothy? Characters who negotiate conflict and complex situations with intelligence and empathy?"
Oof.
Now, do you think that Jupiter fits that?
No. I read your notes ahead of time. I was like so confused by them, because what I thought they were going for with Mila Kunis was like just a copycat of Bella Swan.
Yeah.
That's literally what I said watching the movie.
Like where she has like very little agency.
The whole movie, in terms of not just its narrative and like its characters, like having like the Bella archetype of like bland woman that is like a self-insert for the reader. Overall, the aesthetics of it really match up with like cheesy, bad, like paperback novels. Like, this movie is indicative of the fact that Lana and Lily Wachowski are older women who still have sexual needs. And like, this movie is like the Wachowski, like, paperback. Like,
yeah. And
for worse.
One thing that I read was that apparently the Wachowskis intended to be like, science fiction is a genre that doesn't have a lot of female leads. And when it does have female leads, they're like brute strength or like super sexy. But we were just talking about The Fifth Element last night. That's one to think about, you know?
That is one.
Of a female lead that is just very sexualized. Their goal was like to make this movie that showed that empathy and like human connection is a strength aside from like physical strength, but they just didn't really get it across. Like, it completely fails in that, in my opinion, because Jupiter, her whole character is like what other people do and say to her and not anything about like who she herself really is, aside from the fact that she's intergalactic royalty. But who cares, because she just found that out. It's more like that fantasy of like, I just got swept into this wild world and I'm just a normal girl that you like.
She says she's just a normal girl like at least like three times in this movie. Like it's it's bad. And two, even like the big like thing about her character, like that she's like an immigrant, or like that like she really wants to get her dad's like telescope. All of those things are just about like people connected to her. It's not about her as like an actual person. You know what I mean? Like she doesn't have a single relationship with another character that works and that like feels compelling or like it makes sense. You know what I mean?
No.
Like I was surprised when she kissed Channing Tatum. Like I was like,
me too. I was like, what? I mean, weird. I knew it was coming, but I assumed it would happen later because like she's like, I'm always attracted to men I shouldn't be attracted to. And I'm like, you guys have had like zero time to talk, basically, for the time that you've been together. He's just been like like shoveling you around on his fucking rocket boots.
And it doesn't make sense because Eddie Redmayne is right there.
Oh no. We have to move him far away.
Oh my god, Eddie Redmayne.
I'm so excited. Listen, I love Eddie Redmayne. Okay, so I don't actually love Eddie Redmayne. I don't. I actually think he's kind of not great. I think he's really ugly. Well, okay, that's really mean. I don't think he's...
Actually, you know what?
He looks weird.
You know what,
I'm not
Sammy,
attracted to him.
It makes sense that you like him because he's ugly. Because, like, that's like a lesbian male actor crush, you know?
Is that really?
Quotations.
Is that like a thing?
I think so. Like, he looks weird, and so you like him.
Aaron loves Zach Woods.
It's not a crush. I just love that he looks like a beanpole. Sammy, have you seen the, like, that test where it's like, here, just rate these celebrities and, like, don't worry about it. We'll tell you the answer at the end. And then the answer is, like, we think you're a lesbian based on how you rate the actors as attractive or not.
So okay, my thing with Redmayne is that, like, I don't think he's a good actor. I don't think that's the case. I also don't think he's attractive. He is such, like, a, like, effeminate-looking, like, weird man that, like, if we fed him estrogen for 2 years, I know I would be attracted to him. I'd be like, you're so hot. And, like, the fact that he's played, like, Lily Elvé and Danish Girl, like, which, by the way, I've not seen that movie. I know it's very, like, not liked in the trans community, and I can totally understand why. I'm sure there's lots of, like, garbage about it, and I don't trust it. But and I think it sucks whenever they get, like, a male actor to play a trans woman. Like, obviously that fucking sucks.
And even Eddie Redmayne said he regretted doing it.
Right.
He should have not done it, but, like, what? Okay, I guess that's, like, the bare minimum.
But he is kind of serving, is the thing.
That is, like, the other thing is that is a sapphic movie, Sammy, so when you're ready to watch it, come back.
Oh my god, can we please do Danish Girl?
Yes,
oh
we
my
can absolutely do that.
I'll come with my, like, Eddie Redmayne t-shirt. Like, welcome back to the Eddie Redmayne podcast. Today we're talking about Jupiter Ascending.
Oh my god.
I love that you, like, couldn't even keep us. You, like, tried so hard to keep a straight face through that one. Eddie Redmayne, man, his acting, it was so bad in this.
No, every single time he's on screen, I was crying laughing. Like, it is amazing. it's not good. Like, it's not actual good dramatic acting. Obviously, like, he got a Razzie for it and everything. But I will say, his performance is so silly and so fun that it is one of the few things that, like, does make this movie worth watching, in my opinion. Because I thought this was awful. But, like, if you're looking for, like, a bad movie to watch, Eddie Redmayne, like, just get a, like, mega compilation of just Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't bad enough. It was a...
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. It was a boring... Yeah. And, okay, so there's, like, a part in the movie where Kalik goes into the, like, youth serum bath, and she's looking, like, a little bit old at first. They put, like, some kind of prosthetic on her, and then when she comes out, she's, like, super young and beautiful again. And so the whole movie, I was like, they're gonna do that to Eddie Redmayne because he's talking in this, like, fake old man, way, and I was like, okay, he's gonna go into the U serum and then come out and be normal and maybe more fun, and that never happened.
Aaron, that is just his voice. If we watched Les Mis together,
That entire period of my life is blocked out.
That's so fair. And also, we watched Les Mis, and we drank, like, an entire bottle of Kinky before we watched it, and it was like, we were both dead.
Les Mis is a great movie to get, like, messed up to.
It drunk, and yeah.
Speaking of, this is a great movie to get really drunk to. I haven't done that, but I bet it would have been a lot more fun if I had been pretty drunk.
I
don't think I could have gotten through this sober, honest to God.
Yeah.
Like...
It was so boring.
There were multiple points where I tried to, like, talk Erin out of us finishing watching the movie.
Yeah, she was like, so if we just turned it off now, we could have enough time to watch, like, what was it that you suggested?
Blood Sisters.
Blood Sisters. Yeah, we just watched the lesbian leather SM documentary called Blood Sisters that was really good. Oh. We could have watched that
we
last
could've.
Night. But instead, we watched Jupiter Ascending all the way through.
We had to.
So Eddie Redmayne, he himself said in an interview in GQ that he thought he gave, quote, a pretty bad performance by all accounts, unquote.
Oh my God.
He won the Razzie for Worst Supporting Actor, as you both said. A lot of critics complained that Redmayne's performance was either too effeminate or too camp, as if those are complaints.
Yeah.
What do you think about the interpretation of him as being camp?
I don't know what movie they were watching, but I wish that was the movie that I was watching.
Right. Yeah.
Not nearly camp enough.
I agree.
I wouldn't say that it's totally camp or that he's, like, too effeminate, but I do think there is, like, an aspect of that mm-hmm. to his performance. Like, he feels very much like Ozymandias from Watchmen.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is, I can't remember.
He feels like Pegasus from.
Yes. He feels like.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes.
I
sorry.
Wish
a more classical
Pegasus
reference.
From Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, I wish he leaned into that a little bit more.
Can you imagine if he was like, Jupiter, ooh, give me the earth? That's what I wanted.
You're so right. He was so hit flat, actually, is what it is.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden he was screaming.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
The whispering, too, is just so funny to me, because he has entire scenes where he's just whispering and nobody else is talking at that volume, but he's whispering. Like, Mila Kunis is just, like, talking regular style.
I don't know if you had this for the copy of the movie that you watched, but the mixing on it was, like, pretty bad. Like, we kept having to, like, turn the volume up or turn the volume down,
yeah.
depending on the scene. Yeah.
Yeah, we were
doing
that,
too. There.
Yeah, the mixing is bad, but honestly, the editing in general is pretty bad, and that's another one of the reasons why this movie is credited as flopping, because the editing and pacing makes the plot really hard to follow, and makes, like, certain scenes just look bad. Yeah, the audio mixing is also just awkward.
I thought the editing was fine, actually. I do think that the pacing's bad story-wise. Like, a lot of the stuff, like, the stuff with Titus... he, like, could have been just cut entirely. Like, it really didn't matter.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
The movie would have been so much better for it. Yeah, I thought the editing was fine. Actually, for the action scenes, they were, like, cool and easy to follow. The first one, actually, I think is the best, where they have all, like, the different hunters, and they just are, like, using different Halo weapons to fight each other. Some of the really extended scenes, like the one in Chicago where they're, like, flying and dodging shit, is actually, it kind of got old.
Yes.
Okay.
Sammy and I were waiting with bated breath for you to get through that. Because when you said the first one was the best one, we were like, the first one was the worst one.
Yeah, no.
We were
the very, very first
one
with
okay.
Bay Duna in it, and it's short.
That one was fine. Totally fine. That is the thing that's
yeah.
like disappointing, though, is that, like, the Wachowskis are so well known for, like, having, like, these super stylized films that look amazing, mm-hmm. especially, like, action sequences. Like, I am a diehard fan of the Matrix. I'm a trans
yeah.
woman, obviously. And, like, Speed Racer is amazing. Mm-hmm. But, like, this one, the action for me just, like, totally falls flat. It just, like, looks, like, garbagey. Like, this movie,
yeah.
like, in terms of aesthetics and narrative, really reminds me a lot of, like, just, like, any Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it just, like,
yeah.
I really did not enjoy this movie, and it made me so sad.
Yeah.
yeah. Just on that same point, like, they spent so much money on this movie and all the, mm-hmm. like, the CG and doing all the stunts without stunt doubles. And it's just, like, for what? It's not special.
Yeah.
You know?
That like, is it, what I wanted
yeah.
to talk about, too.
Yeah. Please tell me about it.
So, like, that scene that Sammy and I both hated, which is an 8-minute long scene, fight scene that takes place in Chicago when the aliens first try to abduct Jupiter when she is selling her eggs. That scene alone took 6 months of daily filming from Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis. And a lot of that is because almost every single stunt in this movie was done by a stunt actor. They very, very rarely use CGI or digital doubles for any of the stunts. So that's even true for Kane's flying rollerblade scenes. So many of those scenes used a ring of 6 cameras that were mounted to a helicopter that they flew around the set, which they called the Panocam, which would swing around to capture these dynamic shots of Tatum or the stunt actors while they were literally in the air. Mm-hmm. And the Panocam that they invented later came back into use again when the film Gravity was made, starring Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Yeah. So they invented
it. Looked good there.
It looked good in that movie. Yeah.
That, in that context, it actually makes sense. In this, it did not.
I know.
Because I would say it looks equivalent to a Marvel movie, and a lot of those are just like a bunch of CG shit. So, like, you did this for what?
Well, that's the other thing. So this film was supposed to be released in July of 2014, but it actually ended up getting delayed to February of 2015 because it received very, very poor ratings in test screenings. But in that delay time, they added over 2,000 new special effects, which increased the film's budget by $80 million from $130 million to $210 million because they thought that adding more special effects would make it have better ratings. But then when they did additional test screenings, almost no one even showed up for them because people were so disinterested in the movie.
The thing that's super funny about the timeline of the release, too, is that when it was pushed back before then, they actually said, like, they're bumping the release date earlier. Like, I think, like, it was slated for July, and then they said it was going to come out in June. Mm-hmm. And they were like, actually, we're pushing it to February, which is the funniest thing ever, to, like, be, like, super confident. Like, oh, actually, it's coming out a month early. Never mind. I'm so sorry. We need 2,000 more special effects.
In a red carpet interview, both Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum said that it was the hardest shoot that they've ever done in their life. And that was in like 2015 when this came out. So maybe they've done a harder movie since then, but I kind of doubt it. And apparently there was a portion where Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum were like swinging around, and Channing Tatum had to like kick a camera because it was about to run into Mila Kunis, and so they ended up breaking a camera, but it was like in order to save Mila Kunis.
Oh my god.
Jeez. I know.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Thanks, Channing Tatum.
Thanks, Channing Tatum.
Yeah, when this movie came out, the worldwide box office gross was $184 million, which was a little under $30 million less than the budget, which was $210 million. Of that $184, America only constituted $47 million. It did not do very well here, though it did particularly well in Russia and in China, and it generally placed first in its opening weekend internationally, but in America, it definitely did not place first at box office. It would place third behind number 2, American Sniper, and number 1, SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water.
Good job. The real gay icon.
SpongeBob, he is gay.
He is gay.
It's crazy thinking about this movie, too, and, like, it's, like, insane, like, bloated budget. Because, like, look at, like, The Matrix with, like, a budget of, like, $63 million. That movie feels so much bigger and much more impressive than this movie. Like, this one just feels, like, pure, like, spectacle, and it's not particularly convincing or, like, interesting.
No. It's the script that did it. It's not script. Even the graphics or the casting. It's the script that did it in.
Mm-hmm. It's the script, though.
We needed none of the sibling shit. We needed one villain.
Yeah. The roller skating is particularly silly. I don't know why they thought that was going to be cool.
Actually, maybe it's because they're gay.
Oh, okay, I'm just that makes sense.
Sapphic people love rollerblades and skates.
That's the thing, is that, like, when you were describing Channing Tatum as being shirtless in rollerblades, like, You're just describing, like, a gay man. It's like San Francisco.
That is what a lesbian thinks that straight women are into. They're like, what would a straight woman like? They would like Channing Tatum on rollerblades, and he's shirtless, and he's a werewolf.
And he's a werewolf. I have not cared less a for werewolf. A man in my entire life. Yeah. He's like a block of cheese.
I love a block of cheese.
Okay, I'd rather have a block of cheese than Channing Tatum.
Some brief.
Back in like 2015, there was a BuzzFeed quiz that went viral, and I only remember because I joked with Hoops about it for like years afterwards. That was like, would you rather date this man in Hollywood or have cheese? And it would be like, you get to go on a lovely dinner date and to the movies with Ryan Reynolds, or someone will hand deliver you 5 trays of macaroni. Which would you prefer?
Give me a macaroni. And it
was like, the title of the quiz was like man or cheese or something like that. So anyway, I just think it's so funny that you inadvertently unlocked this memory that I had buried about the man or cheese BuzzFeed quiz.
This also brings up one of my favorite Tumblr posts, which is you can control white people with cheese, and then somebody responded like, but cheese is good, and then somebody else, the original poster, was like, oh, got one. I think about that every time I eat cheese.
Cheese is so good, though. I will eat, like, just a wedge of brie cold straight out the fridge, nothing on it, just eating it like a candy bar.
Oh, yeah.
This movie, people like it sometimes. I didn't.
As they should, actually. You know what? You want to know what my perfect viewing experience for Jupiter Ascending is?
What?
Sleepover, you're with your friends, you've already, like, been drinking, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you want to put something on, and it's Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, this could be like the movie that everybody falls asleep to after a fun night. We put this movie on, and one of the first things I said, Sammy, if you'll recall, is this movie is a sleeper.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna incite some feelings with this. I understand. I fell asleep to The Matrix, and I feel like this has some pacing problems that are, and I fell asleep to Sense8.
I just personally think that you're transphobic. And like that's just how I personally feel. I don't give a shit what your feelings are about Sense8, but The Matrix is all we have. Like it was I can't say enough, and that's the thing too about this movie is that like The Matrix was so defining. I keep on bringing it up because it is, like, the thing that put the Wachowskis on the map. And it's just so good. It completely, like, defined, like, an entire generation of, like, what action was going to look like on film. And it looks amazing. And even just, like, the fashion of it.
Yes.
And that's something that I wrote down in my notes while watching this was that, like, one of the reasons why this movie is, like, not enjoyable is that, like, it feels really, really tired. Like, all of, like, the aesthetics and, like, what the Wachowskis think looks super cool now looks really outdated. Like, I said it, like, it feels like the Wachowskis were held at gunpoint and Warner Bros. Were like, you have to make a movie out of this. And they just, like, dumped a bunch of, like, box art of, like, gaming, like, graphics cards from, like, the 90s and aughts. And, like, this is your movie now. It's like...
I know. It's too bad, honestly. And the weird thing is, like, everything I read about this makes it seem like they were allowed to do whatever they wanted, the Wachowskis, I mean, because they were able to spend so much money on these fight scenes and stuff like that. But I don't know, it kind of does feel like there's something about this that does feel like corporate-y and not, I don't know, there's like no love, I guess.
Yeah, they have strayed so far from their initial roots of Bound when they couldn't find a single dollar to make that damn movie.
They want to talk about, like, good, and I mean, I hate the conversation around, like, good female characters, because I feel like it's, you know, it's just, it gets weird sometimes. But you want to talk about great female characters, talk about Bound.
Yeah.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Jupiter is not a strong female character. She is Bella, and like, negative, I mean that.
That isn't an insult. You're just like Bella from Twilight, and I mean it to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Like,
Jupiter Jones is also a terrible name. Like, it sounds like a comic book name. Like,
well, I think that also just plays to them wanting to market this movie to women. It's a movie by women about a woman for women, right? In general.
Man, this, like, did this get any marketing at all, though?
No.
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't remember at the time.
I remember at the time it was massively trending on Tumblr, but that was because people were watching it, like, to kind of hate watch it, or they were watching it because they were furries.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, actually, speaking of, I have 2 points. Speaking of furries, in our fanfiction episode, this is not related to furries, actually, but we were talking about ABO because ABO is, like, pretty popular right now. Do you think this movie would have done better if it was released now because of the ABO aspect?
They would have to make it modern to today, right? Because it feels really out of date. 2015, that it felt out of date, right? That was 7 years ago. So now it feels, like, really tired.
I also like that every time I come on the show, we do talk about ABO at least a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you said that he was a canon Sigma male.
Yeah, because he gets rejected by the pack and he has to make his own way. But when I said that, my girlfriend, who was defending this movie much more than it deserves to be defended, and I love her. If she listens to the podcast sometimes, Stevie, I love you, but I'm also confused. But yeah, she was like, he's not a Sigma male because he wants a pack, and a real Sigma male is all right being alone. So
he's he's like a Delta male, right? As we discussed
episode.
A Delta male is just a normal guy in society who wants to be normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Via Tumblr is, like, how I got the understanding of the movie that I had before watching it, which is this. It's Mila Kunis goes to Jupiter because she is the long-lost queen of Jupiter, and she goes with her boyfriend, who's a werewolf, and there's something about bees that's important. I wrote that down because I thought it was going to be funny to look back on it, but it's surprisingly accurate.
It is, actually.
Yeah. So thanks, Tumblr, I guess.
My conception going in, because I knew nothing about it, was that Mila Kunis and Eddie Redmayne were going to get together, and they were going to be like a high camp, like...
If only.
Sammy's opening AO3.
I wanted to see if there were, like, ABO
fan. Jupiter Ascending? It has to exist.
I searched Jupiter Ascending with the additional tag Omegaverse, and I did not find anything.
Oh my god, I'm so sad. Okay, Jupiter Ascending.
I'm just Googling it.
Yeah. Sorry, not to, like, derail. But...
Oh, fanfiction.net.
No, this is important.
Jupiter Ascending, angst, Kane fanfiction, the Alpha and the Runt.
Oh, no. Wait, oh fuck, Mila Kunis? Is the alpha?
No, there just is an alpha.
That's the only thing I was going to say about this movie. When we were saying this movie is just Odyssey, but it's also just Cinderella, but it's also Wizard of Oz. One more to throw into the ring. It's also just Dune. So much of this movie is just stolen from Dune. Even, like, the reincarnation thing is literally just, like, a complete copy of Dune. The reason why they need the spice from Arrakis is because, like, spice elongates, like, the rich, like, elite's life.
I have great news. I'm on AO3. we have Stinger/Kane, Alpha/Omega. No. Kane has a problem. Stinger's the only one with a cure. Let's go.
Are they?
Aaron.
Oh my god. Let's see. There's six.
Are
of
they
them.
What? Samantha. Are they what?
These are. I'm only reading the explicit ones.
I can't remember the movie. Are they brothers or are they?
No, they're friends.
Okay.
No, they're just friends.
Cool. Okay.
He's more than friends, actually.
Okay.
Oh, more than friends. Ooh, here we go. I'm not an alpha, but I'll be your alpha, Jupiter Jones slash Kane. Let's go.
I'll take it. I wish that they leaned into that, actually.
Yeah, that would have been
good. I wish that they put that in the movie.
I would have been all about it.
Yeah, me too. I would have been more into it.
Oh my god.
Dom Jupiter.
Let's go. And then there's also a Jupiter slash both Stinger and Kane. And the prompt is that all of the, like, hybrid people are Omegas and they need help through their heats. So it's just Jupiter fucking these two guys. Oh my god.
Can you look for me? Is there any Jupiter Ascending fanfic about Bellum?
About Eddie Redmayne.
Oh my god, there has to be. Wait, well, let's just see how many there are, because there has to be a lot of them. Let's see. 238 fics. I'm sending both of these links.
Thank you. Whoa! The first one being called Squirtings and Orgasms.
Oh, no! Oh, damn, it's in Japanese.
Darn.
It's tagged with elf sex! It's tagged with squirting piss! Oh, my God! It's elf? Tagged with pregnant bellum!
Oh, my God. Pregnant bellum.
I'm so sorry to yell like that, but holy shit, that was not what I expected. Oh my God. It's tagged with MILF Eddie Redmayne. I can't look at this. I'm closing the tab. Anyway, what the fuck were we even talking about?
Some people love this movie.
Yes.
And I tried to figure out why some people love this movie, because for me, like, the pacing and the scripting is so bad that it's, like, kind of not even good as, like, a joke funny movie to watch. Like, a bad movie that you watch as a joke with your friends, you know?
That's fair.
I saw a lot of people saying that they like this movie because it's not any worse than a Marvel movie or a Harry Potter movie or something like that, which... I think if that's your frame of reference, I get why people like it. It's like, well, it's not any worse than those other ones.
Yeah.
But you're admitting, even in that statement, that it is that those other movies are bad. And so it's like, well, this one's also pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, if I've only eaten, like, sludge my whole life and you hand me a chicken nugget, it is, like, the best thing ever. But, like, it's still at the end of the day.
I think it's more like if I've been eating many things, but mostly sludge, and somebody hands me sludge but it's salted, I'd be like, this sludge is just as good, if not better, than that other sludge.
Yo, this sludge is banging. It's sludge. I know.
Which, oh, honestly, I'll accept that. Like, I if you're into that genre, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fine.
I will say I do agree with it. Like, I definitely think that this is like a big box office action movie with weird sci-fi elements that is better than most Marvel movies. And I know that Stevie also said this, but I do agree with it.
Yeah.
And I think specifically about the Captain America Iron Man Civil War Avengers movie.
That we saw together.
No, we saw Avengers Age of Ultron together.
Oh, God, that one's so
That was the one
bad.
Where I learned that the Terminator was a robot for the first time.
Eye-opening.
I know. But we went and saw that in theaters, and that was really bad. But the Civil War one is like, why do Captain America and Iron Man hate one another? It's not super clear. Why are all of these other characters around? I don't really know. They're not adding that much.
Yeah.
And then they get to their fight scene, and it's anticlimactic. It's just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what happened in that movie, because it was so blah, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll take it. You know, I'll take that this is in that same genre, but it's better, so it's watchable, you know?
Yeah. I know that, like, a lot of people were, when they finished this movie, were like, oh, it must have been based off of a book. And I feel like we already said this, but yeah, it would have been much better as a book.
I honestly think it would have done really well as, like, a mainstream video game, because Jupiter is one of those characters that you could really put yourself in their shoes if you were playing in a video game, right? It would be like, I am just a normal girl.
And then,
right.
and then she does have agency.
And she does have the sarcastic button. She has, like, sarcastic quips in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be kind of a fun protagonist to be, right? But as a movie character, it doesn't really work.
That's the thing, is like you were saying, is like, this movie isn't like any worse than any like Marvel or like Disney movie that's coming out, but like I still don't, that doesn't make me like it. And the thing too is like, it makes me kind of like just more so frustrated. I have a huge thing about like Disney. I loathe Disney. I loathe their practices and just their like the movies they make. I think they're garbage. I think they're terrible. And what bothers me about this is it exasperates that like feeling about how much I hate it, because it's like, this movie doesn't deserve nearly as much hate if you're also not going to give it for those movies. Like, I genuinely think if this movie had, like, if you copy-pasted Captain America and, like, Thor into these movies, people would be like, this is actually so based, because, what if Captain America had to sell his eggs? Like, wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
A lot of people...
What if? Oh my God.
A lot of people compare this movie to Guardians of the Galaxy, which I have not seen.
I've not
seen it. That's either. Not a good comparison.
Okay, well, that's fine.
A lot of people say a lot of things.
I don't know. I guess, like, because I have, like, a lot of faith in the Wachowskis, I almost want to be, like, the studio meddling came from them being like, this needs more action scenes in order to make it more interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the Wachowskis being like, okay, we're going to spend a bunch of money to do that, but then it not actually adding anything. And I don't necessarily think the Wachowskis would do this kind of movie, but if this was like a slower paced, like traditional sci-fi movie about bureaucracy and stuff like that, it might actually be kind of interesting. But again, that's like so far from what it is that you can't even really say that.
Right.
When I was like a teenager, this movie came out, and the thing I remember about it wasn't, like, anything about the actual plot or anything. I remember Eddie Redmayne, like, having, like, a notably bad performance, and that it was, like, a really big movie on YouTube from, like, the, like, guy gets angry at movie review, God, like, sphere. Yeah. That's how I, learned about the film and whatnot. And, like, genuinely, like, this movie isn't bad, and it doesn't, like, make me, like, well, it is bad, sorry. This movie isn't bad in a way that makes me angry. It's bad in a way that makes me just, like, feel really, like, sad. Because, like,
yeah.
I keep bringing it up. I'm a huge fan of the Wachowskis. I think, like, they have, like, some excellent movies. They are deserving of critique, obviously. Especially with, like, a lot of, like, the racism in a lot of their movies. And on their heads. But, like, I still, like, love some of the things that they've added to, like, the film canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just really disappointing to see, like, creators that you do think have, like, a talent to them and like something special and unique make this like super corporate movie that just like sucks and is boring and is bland as all hell.
Especially when they, because they were like so prominent and are so prominent at the time, or I guess were so prominent, maybe I think that potentially like coming out has potentially hurt them, which is horrible, but its own thing. But they were like allowed to do whatever they wanted and they did this, so it does kind of hurt in that way.
Yeah. And like, speaking to the corporatism of it all, they did another super corporate movie, which was Speed Racer. It wasn't even their IP, right? But they still did something really interesting and fun with it.
Yeah. Speed Racer movie is so good. And like the thing too,
I haven't seen it still.
Oh, it's so good. You should see it.
That's the next episode for the podcast.
No, we have plans. You should have
texted me last night and been like, we're going to watch Speed Racer right now. We're not watching Jupiter Ascending.
Seeing this movie is the equivalent of going to like the revival tour of like your favorite like rock band when you were young and realizing all the members are old, schlubby, and like not cool and like are like sellouts now. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a mean way, but it's just like that kind of like disappointment of like growing up and realizing like, oh.
Yeah. And nothing spoke to me more than when we sat down to start the movie and we had to reveal to Jude, my partner, that there were no lesbians in the movie. And they were like, then what am I here for?
I felt so bad for Jude. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When we were done watching the movie, I genuinely apologized. Like, let me find my review for this movie on Letterboxd.
Yes, Amy left Aaron a Letterboxd review.
So funny.
I gave a half-star review to Jupiter Ascending and said, to the amazing staff at Gaze Gaze, I'd like to give my sincerest apologies. And I would.
Sammy, let me tell you, there's no need to apologize. I'm glad I consumed this. I feel more aware of the world now. And also my girlfriend really liked it.
I'm glad I consumed this sludge with salt on it. Honestly, it was good.
You know, I've been watching Wynonna Earp like straight for the last like month or something.
Yeah, so this feels normal, right?
This feels that's I think maybe a little bit unkind, but I don't know. What's like the upgrade from sludge?
Gruel.
I've been having some like gruel. Very good gruel, some very consumable gruel, and so this sludge, I was like, you know what, it's not great, but it's a little bit different, and that's enough for me.
Yeah, Wynonna Earp is the gruel to Jupiter Ascending's sludge. It's too
like some like Jupiter some Ascending rice porridge.
Yeah, I think that like
Which is not, which pause.
Let's say like positive. So there's sludge, and then Jupiter Ascending is gruel, and then Wynonna Earp is actually a little bit more like Soylent, right?
This is the new review system you guys have, and you have to give everything a rating on the like gruel to like fine dining meter.
Yeah, gruel to Michelin star.
I give this 3 chocolate Soylents out of 5. is there anything more to say about this?
I wanted to talk about feminist interpretations of this film.
Oofa doofa.
So another reason why some folks like this movie is that they think that it is feminist and that it doesn't depict Jupiter as very sexualized, and it does depict her as emotionally strong character. And there's also, like, the Daily Dot gave this film quite a lot of praise for avoiding sexist jokes, because many science fiction films have historically been sexist or have not even included women at all.
But right. Yeah, I guess.
I don't think the lack of something offensive means it's progressive or should be, like, complimented or, like, praised. Like, it literally means you did less work. Like, obviously, like, it would have been bad work to make your movie more sexist, but, like, you could also just say that about, like, a bunch of fucking movies. Like, the one, like, super long, like, experimental film of just filming the Empire State Building at least doesn't have any sexist jokes.
Yeah.
Doesn't pass the Bechdel test, but it doesn't have any sexist jokes.
Exactly. Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, and then there was also one review that was cited on Jupiter Ascending's Wikipedia page from Donna Dickens at HitFix, who said, "Women don't always want superhuman robots to look up to. We want to be the same klutzy nobody who is cosseted and petted and told that we're special, despite all the evidence to the contrary." Which feels almost, in our argument for why this film is feminist, feels almost a little bit anti-feminist.
Yeah, no, that seems kind of sexist, like, actually.
You could have taken that and, like, written, you could have told me that that quote comes from, like, a book review from, like, 1900. Like, yeah. That feels, like, so, like, just, like, terrible to say, especially too, because, like, I don't know, I know so many women that, like, are not normal and are unique and should be celebrated, but, like, aren't, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, just having narratives where it's, like, well, I'm just a normal girl, there's nothing, like, miraculous about me, like, how could anyone love me, or how could I be, like, special, like, it just kind of, like, it inadvertently kind of, like, reaffirms those, like, kind of narratives of women being, like, useless unless there's, like, some grand dramatic gesture or something like that. Or, like,
unless they're the queen of Earth.
Well, especially, too, with it being, like, queendom being, like, Mila Kunis's, like, call to, like, having worth and quality and, like, value. Like, it intrinsically links your value as a woman to your suitors. And, like, whether or not somebody would marry you. And, like, marriage and, like, weddings are always framed like this in media. I took an entire, like, seminar about this, like, just last semester, about, like, wedding media, and the big thing about it is that, like, it kind of, like, just breaks women down into saying that, like, the wedding is the most important, like, in most, like, defining moment of your life, that, like, your value is defined by whether or not a man would marry you and, like, contractionally, like, own you. And I think this movie is very much that, like, the, like, wedding scene in this is, like, the most wedding scene ever, like, Channing Tatum, like, interrupting the wedding, be like, no, like, you can't marry this guy, he's not real, like, unlike me, you love me, like, it's very, like, it's gross, it's really, really gross, actually.
At least that, like, is the villain scene, that's the only, like, defense of that scene I can give.
I guess.
As far as, like, fantasies that women want to go to, I know that, like, talking about, like, Bella or whoever the main character of 50 Shades of Grey was, who is Bella, I know that there's a fantasy aspect to that of, like, being the regular girl who's also, like, so humble that she would, you know, she's like, she doesn't want anything, she'll, like, refuse anything you give her, but, like, oh, we're thrusting this upon you, like, you have to take it. So you get the fantasy aspect of being very humble but also getting to enjoy all the gains that are being given to you. And so I can understand that, but I don't think this is feminist. It's just, like, kind of like a fantasy thing.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sorry, that wasn't very eloquent.
No, I completely understand what you're saying, and I think you're absolutely right. It's this fantasy of, like, pacification and, like, infantilization of, like, not doing anything to, like, make yourself miraculous, but being treated that way, but also being able to, like, not have to self-analyze or, like, be self-conscious about, like, what privileges you're being owed. It's very much kind of like a, like, white cis, like, woman's, like, fantasy. It is a neoliberal romantic fantasy.
Wouldn't it be great to be the queen of the earth so that you could save it from evil?
My goodness. And even because even in the, like, they have, like, this very minor scene where it's all about bureaucracy, where they're trying to like get her the seal that proves that she owns Earth, and they have to go to one place and they're like, go to this other place, and then blah blah blah, go to another place. But Mila Kunis doesn't even do anything for that scene. It's all it's an android that does it for her, which is, I'm like, what does this add?
That scene in particular is like one of the worst ones in the movie, because yeah. The scene itself, the way it's like shot and directed, it feels like it's supposed to be like comedic and like funny, right. Like, whoa, it's crazy having to go to the government. Doesn't that suck?
The quip then, afterwards, is like, I'll never complain about the DMV ever again. It's right. Like, oh, no.
But then the music is like so dramatic. It doesn't feel like it's being framed as like a like super like climactic scene. Like, oh my God, we have got to get the sign like tattooed on her arm. Like, it sucks. This movie sucks.
People are literally gonna come and kill her unless she has this. Except that then it doesn't even matter, because Eddie Redmayne is like, I'm gonna kill you anyway, even though you do have this. It's like, okay.
Speaking of that scene, though, there's the guy, the android, who's taking her around to do all of this. And we got talking about, like, when Sammy and I were watching, we got talking about if you were to recast this movie to make it funnier so that it could be like a bad movie that you watch with your friends because it's so bad that it's cheesy, what would you change? One of my suggestions was recasting that android as Carson Kressley from,
oh my God,
from Drag Race.
Oh my God.
So I would like you to ruminate on that for a second and think about who you might want to recast as like Titus, Jupiter, Kane, Stinger, etc.
Oh my God, if that was Carson Kressley, though, I would want him to, like, be with them the entire time.
Right? Yeah. And just be really annoying all the time.
Yeah. Who's a man who's not a block of cheese?
I said that for Kane, Sammy's already losing it, I said that they should have cast Will Ferrell as Kane.
That's a good one. Otherwise, I think he's so funny because he's so a fat and they could, like, really lean into the ABO thing. They should cast Michael Cera as, like, Janet Dan's character.
Oh, like, my just,
like,
God.
Little, like, shrimply guy.
Wait, like, you're right. Yeah. Because
then the other question is, who would you recast as Mila Kunis? I said, I don't know if you heard me whispering this to Jude, Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Oh,
where
wow.
She's speaking in that cat voice from Victorious. Like, the super high-pitched, like, I didn't know that I was going to be the queen of the universe.
I love dogs.
Like, I love dogs.
With the face, yes, the Ariana, yeah.
In her sleeves.
Keep Mila Kunis, but, like, let her off the leash.
Let her go crazy. You
know? Yeah, let her go nuts.
If it was Ariana, you wouldn't even have to change wardrobe. She always has, like, a ponytail. That's the other thing I want to talk about this movie. The wardrobe of this movie, like, sucks. Like, they constantly have Mila Kunis, like, with, like, high ponytail, and it's just, like, you literally thought, like, nothing about how your, like, character should look. Like, she...
Yeah, I
know. Like, I'm not even saying, like, she's not sexualized enough, but, like, there's no thoughtfulness shown.
Yeah, they wanted to make her look normal. They put all of their thought into making Kane into a shirtless, leather pants wearing, roller skating albino werewolf.
with his wings removed.
Yeah, with no wings.
Okay, that's another thing. I hate the normal girl trope of, oh no, they put me in a dress. Don't you have sweatpants for me to wear instead? I'm like, oh.
It's just tired.
Man, it's tired. It's so tired.
Especially, like, reading into, like, that stuff as, like, a trans woman, it's, like, literally can't relate. Like, femininity has been, like, literally, like, kept from me and, like, put on this pedestal that, like, the idea of being exhausted by femininity is, like, just, like, alien to me. Yeah. Like, I can understand it. Like, I, you know, I'm somebody who, like, suffers from, like, the patriarchy and, like, misogyny and everything like that. But, like, I never see, like, expressing femininity as a chore. Like, it's always something that, like, makes me happy and, like, that I derive pleasure from. Because I do it on my terms. Like, I don't do it for other people. I do it for myself.
Right.
Totally.
And so, like, I feel like if you have that kind of relationship with femininity, that's something that you should investigate.
Transgender Jupiter.
Man. Oh, maybe. Oh, she's an alpha male!
She is the alpha male! Oh my God!
Oh my God, she's gonna fucking peg Channing Tatum!
I wish that that was, like, secretly what the Wachowskis had planned, and the corporate execs were like, you can't do that.
Oh, man.
And they were like, alright.
They had an entire, like, Bound-style sex scene.
Oh, yo! Let's go.
I wonder what was removed.
Yeah. Man.
Okay, I don't want to end this on, like, a downer note, but do we want to talk about Bayduna? They didn't let her speak.
They didn't let her speak. They made her look like Lana Wachowski.
They made her look like Lana Wachowski. I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I was like, what does her hair remind me of? And then I realized that you were 100% dead on. It's Lana Wachowski's future hair. They should have let Bayduna speak.
I know.
I mean, I love her, but I was waiting for her to speak, and I was like, oh, it's not happening. She was not billed for speaking, which sucks.
It's so sad that she has, like, no presence. They should have just let Lana Wachowski play herself.
It would have been funny, at least.
Why not? Yeah. That would have been actually hilarious.
That's my final recasting. No.
All right. Oh, that's perfect. My first and only thought when you talked about recasting was just to go all the way in and have Tommy Wiseau be Eddie Redmayne.
That would be so good, though. He would eat that role up.
Your mind. Oh, my God. No, he would want to be Titus.
He would. Which also would have been good.
What if I said, here's something controversial. Let Tommy Wiseau direct Jupiter Ascending.
You know?
We should give Tommy Wiseau that amount of money, because, like, it'd be so funny. That would be
great, actually.
Or Neil Breen.
This actually does feel like a Neil Breen movie.
My final thought is that lesbians let us down for Jupiter Ascending.
Aw, man. And during Pride Month?
Well, that was our own choice.
Well, here's the thing, though.
No, they
wanted to release it in June, actually.
Oh, shit. See, I told you.
Maybe we're letting lesbians down by not giving this movie a fair shot. I give it 5 bags of popcorn out of 5.
Unseasoned popcorn. Oh, no, like that, like the diet popcorn that has, like, zero flavor.
Oh, no.
5 bags of diet popcorn out of 5. I actually can't remember if I said this or not, so I'm going to say it again. My girlfriend, after we finished this movie, is like, this movie is good and makes sense if you've played all of the Kingdom Hearts games, which I will give to her. I think that's true. So if you have played all the Kingdom Hearts games and you love this movie, please email us at erin@gazegaze.com.
Actually, can we end on a good note with me sharing some messages that we received?
Oh my God, please.
Because I unfortunately forgot.
I love getting messages.
We received several messages on Twitter because I tweeted while we were watching the movie last night. I tweeted, what do y'all like about Jupiter Ascending? Emily responded, funny answer. I love dogs. Seriously. Yeah. Serious answer, that twinky little android freak getting his ass kicked by bureaucracy and then meeting his evil goth twin.
Okay, that was actually kind of funny. Can you imagine, oh my God, if you did the recast and it was Carson Kresley twice?
Just 2 different drag looks.
Yes. And then they kiss.
Yes. Alpaca said that her favorite part was when it ended, and then said that was a little mean.
No, you're right, though.
But I'm a whore for galaxies, so my goblin plane liked all of the stars and planets and shit.
And I love that.
My personal favorite was when June, our friend June, responded and said, I liked when Jerry from Rick and Morty was in it in an alternate universe.
Oh my God.
And I had to respond, you are thinking about Cloud Atlas. To which she responded, to be fair, Cloud Atlas and Jupiter Ascending are very similar. For one, I have not seen them. And for two, they involve 2 words and one of them is space-like. And then she shared, another Jupiter Ascending fun fact is that in the D&D game I'm in, I named the horses Jupiter and Rising because I forgot the name of the movie. Let's end there. This is a movie was iconic for how bad it is, but in the end, it is just not memorable. It's not going to remember the plot of this at all.
No.
I know.
I didn't remember the plot of this at all.
Yeah, I had to tell you it when we started this podcast.
You, like, read me a little story.
And, and we watched it last night.
No, we did.
Oh my God.
Less than 24 hours ago.
Less than 24 hours ago. Though I will say, things have been consumed between that 24 hours.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sammy. I'm so glad that you came back for this, even though it was too big.
Yeah, no, I had a great time. I'm sorry about sending in my email and being the one person that made us watch Jupiter.
I'm glad that we got to watch this.
I had a great time. Thank you, Sammy. No, I had a great time.
Thank you for suggesting it.
If you want to follow me, my Twitter is still at L-I-L, Estradiol. Otherwise, my main thing is Transcribe. That's transcribe.ink, I-N-K. It's my digital like little journal for uploading essays. I have an essay that's going to come out probably when this is posted about Squid Games. Because I saw that when I was like going to get evicted. So I have thoughts about it. You should find me on there. And yeah.
Cool. And thank you so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GazeGaze. That's a great place to hear about updates. And also, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it. In order to get in contact, you can email us at Aaron@GazeGaze to send us thoughts, ideas, and recommendations, or you can just DM us on Twitter. Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look in Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can, and should, buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com, but you can also stream it on Spotify. Next week, we're going to be doing...
You know what we're doing.
Wynonna Earp, woo!
Erin, did I tell you that I'm almost done with season two already?
That's wild.
I just started it 4 days ago.
Good job.
Yeah.
If you have thoughts about Wynonna Earp, you should email us at Erin@GazeGaze.com or DM us on Twitter, or you can reply to our tweet, because we usually send out a tweet asking for your thoughts. So give us them thoughts, baby.
Yeah, we would love to hear them, especially because we're doing this because many people wrote in and recommended it to us.
Yeah. Even outside of the podcast, I've had people recommend this to me.
Really? I had never heard of it outside of the podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, until next week, I'm Erin.
And I'm Erin.
I won't be here, but I'm Samantha.
Oh, thank you. And we're all gay. And we're gay. Yay. That's all. Bye.
Bye.
If you love love like I love